Attention contractors, on May 6th, you're invited to a free web class all about hiring. Look, there's no denying we're in a skilled labor shortage, and it feels impossible these days to hire good people. But I've conducted over 2,400 interviews for trades positions, and I'm telling you, this can be done. You're just kind of doing it wrong. So, if you want the best performing job ad templates contractors are using in 2025, some simple interview tactics that are going to double your show up rates, and some tips to become the only place in town that A players want to work, this web class is for you. May 6th, let's make it happen, and I'll see you there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. If you are watching on YouTube, you will no doubt notice that I'm not in the studio. And that makes sense because today's the day that I'm handing over the baton to my good friend and the co-founder of Breakthrough Academy, Danny Kerr, who you can see has comfortably taken my place behind the mic in the studio. So Danny, why don't you take it from here?
Benji, thanks a ton, man. First of all, I'm excited to be here. You guys will get to know me more in the future as I step into this role of host, and I'll be creating the same great content that you know and love. But for today, I actually want to focus on Benji. Benji, you've been the host for this show for 4 years now. That's 4 years heading up a highly successful content marketing strategy. And I think we'd be a little remiss not to take this opportunity to flip the script. So today, I'm going to pick this man's brain so you guys can learn his approach to creating great content and how you can replicate the success of Contractor Evolution in your own way and with your own tactics and with your own audience. So let's get started. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Benji, man, it's time for you to have your own episode. And I think it's kind of an important one. I think it's going to be great for everyone listening. And this is a big deal, man. This is a big deal. So I am in studio. You are at home. We have lots to get into. And I wanted to start with even just pulling back the curtain a little bit on what you've been up to, what Breakthrough Academy and Contractor Evolution have been up to for the last 4 years building this podcast, and just reflect back a little bit. Why did this show start? How did it take us to where we are today? Kick us off, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here. How the tides have turned. Feels now I don't know what it feels like to be interrogated after all these years. So just like a bit of a backstory on Contractor Evolution.
Yeah, even just like, you know, how did we decide to even start this? Why did we decide to do this? What have we done over the last few years? Things like that.
So the podcast, and like really like by extension, a lot of our content was like a lot of things, just necessity is the mother of invention. Like we found ourselves in a spot like in about 2020 after a lot of years of trying, just like not able to scale our lead gen, like very, very simply put. You know, when I started at BTA in 2017, I was in sales or I was an assessment specialist, but I also had to go get my own leads. So it was like, we didn't really have a marketing engine. I would fly to events to go speak at events. Then I'd get home and then I'd sell those people into assessments. You were doing something similar. And we just like, it became very apparent that we needed a bit of a marketing engine and needed something a little bit more scalable. And you know, we're not traditionally trained marketers, so we read books and spent time on the internet learning how this is done. And it became really clear that we needed content, you know, like we needed to have machinery and infrastructure that put out content that people found useful onto the internet. So hopefully they could find us and build trust with us and then buy our stuff, which is ultimately, you know, coaching services for construction and trades. We put our heads together and thought a lot about it. What do we think people want to listen to? I remember doing quite a bit of research in terms of like what types of content people consume, what do they not consume, what do they love, what do they hate, what medium works. And you know, fortunately we had a whole bunch of our ICP that we were working with already. We kind of had a direct access to the type of audience that we wanted to make content for. And it became pretty clear that a podcast was an obvious choice. Like we needed to meet people where they were at. And we knew that there's an appetite for education and thought leadership and good quality sort of edutainment style stuff. And we know that our listeners or our buyers spend a lot of time in trucks driving around from job site to job site, or a lot of time in the gym working out, or a lot of time at home cooking meals. And it was very clear that, like, you know, audio that you can take on the go was the right thing to do versus, say, some other kind of publication, white papers or some other type of written word or something like that. It was very obvious that kind of something audio and video would be the way to do it. And so we built it. We did a brand package with Noel. We thought through the name really carefully. We worked with some really great advisors and some coaches and just kind of got the thing started. And I don't know. I mean, I'm skipping over the details, but the rest is history.
There you go. Now we're here. I remember early on this concept where you and me were flying all over the country to go meet our ideal customer, right? At different events, associations, at whatever we could do to get in front of our ideal customer. And it always felt like we were kind of like renting the space. Do you know what I mean? To be in front of somebody else's audience so that we can kind of get in front of our ideal customer and say our piece, right? And this shift, I think for all of us, for me, you, James, Igor, everyone that was kind of involved in this in the early stages, was like, we need to have our own audience. We need to start to build our own reputation, and we need to start to have our own place where our audience can live and hang with us so that long term we can build that relationship and not we're not coming in to rent it, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. I remember that. I mean, I don't know if it's like the first page in the book, but it's definitely in one of the first chapters. I'm looking at my bookshelf to see if I can find it. Epic Content Marketing by Joe Pulizzi is one of the kind of mainstays that we've used and gone back to over the years. But you don't build a house on rented land.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing with content. It's the same thing with audience building. You're kind of going around from partner to partner, from show to show, begging and pleading to get in front of people so that you can hawk your own shit. And like, I think that there's a stage in any business where you have to do that. Beggars can't be choosers, but you outgrow that pretty quick. And we had, and it was just very clear that we needed, like you said, to build our own audience. And to do that, you need to have content, and it's got to be good enough that people want to listen to it or watch it or read it or share it or click on it or whatever. And yeah, we got really fortunate in the sense that we did it at a time when everyone and their dog was coming up with a podcast. And yeah, I just think that we made a few really good decisions early on, and we're able to get some good guests. We obviously had a captive audience in the form of at the time, it would have been a couple hundred clients, maybe less. BTA has grown a lot since as a result. And so we kind of had a little bit of a nucleus of people to start feeding it to. But from there, it grew pretty quickly, and it's been, you know, there's been a few plateaus, but if you look at the aggregate, if you look at the graph, it's been up and to the right, which has been really, really cool and rewarding to see.
And what do you think that the impact has been? I mean, you've been hard at work this for 4 years. I know on our end, on the other side of Breakthrough Academy, been busy operating. What do you see the impact of having this podcast be, or having this content marketing engine just start and go over the last 4 years?
Well, I mean, like, first and foremost, like, I think and I hope and I genuinely believe that the biggest impact that we've had has been on our listeners. Like, I have been on a mission to be, and I shouldn't say I, like our content team, the marketing team at BTA, Juan, who's behind the cameras, you know, Aaron, who leads performance, Lauren, who produces the show, Kendra doing marketing ops, you know, Lucas doing our ads, Ami doing our copy, Sam doing partnerships, Matt doing all of our amazing videos. If I've forgotten someone, they're going to roast me, but I'm doing this on the fly here. Like, we have a lot of people behind this, and we're all very listener obsessed, customer obsessed. And so I would hope that the biggest impact has been like with the listener, and like getting them access to information and guests and ideas and frameworks and concepts that are delivered and communicated in a way that they get and they can do something with. And I have to say, I'm like, you know, I'm incredibly humbled and incredibly honored to go to events all the time still. And people come up to me all the time and just like, we love the show. We love your videos. And that's a really like cool experience that I'm proud of. And being the figurehead, I get a lot of the credit, but most of the credit goes to all the people I mentioned and more. And I really want to be clear about that. There's a ton of effort, not just me, behind this that has gone into it. So I hope that's where the biggest impact has been. I think your question though is more about like the impact it's had on the brand. And so that's a really interesting question. Like in a way you're asking like, well, like, does it work? And the short answer is yes. Unbelievably so. I mean, I don't have the dashboards in front of me anymore, but you know, if you look at the head count of BTA, subscriber count, if you look at annual sales, if you look at like everything has gone up with the show. Now, there's a whole bunch of other factors that go into that, and that's important to mention. But like, it's been a really, really, really effective tool for us to build out an information product, a coaching and advising business, disseminate thought leadership out there onto the internet so people can find us. And so, yeah, like I think that its impact for the results of BTA and the growth of BTA have been huge. The other thing that has been awesome for is just like team building and recruitment. I mean, having content and having a great brand, yes, you kind of originally do it for customers, but very quickly you realize there's these knock-on effects too. Then that, you know, it impresses the kind of talent that you want to hire that's in your funnel, right? They look at it and go, these guys are really legit. It lends authenticity and trust and belief in what you do. It gets you on bigger stages that you would have no business getting onto. It makes partnership conversations easier. It's been a really eye-opening thing. You know, what's kind of fascinating about our journey with it too is like, I think we originally made it because we needed more leads. And this could just be a tracking issue. I think it is, but getting us direct leads is actually like one of the, it's like the least good at that. And it's the best at all these other things. What it's really good at is helping increase our sales ratio, helping increase our LTV. There's a whole bunch of other secondary metrics that we maybe didn't think this would impact that it has more prolifically. And we can, I mean, it sort of gets sort of technical and we get into marketing speak to explain that, to explain why that is, but it's been really, really interesting. I think the way that I would describe it is kind of a rising tide for the entire brand and all of our marketing efforts. And yeah, it's just been really, it's been really fun and really rewarding to play a role in it. I mean, I said this on a previous episode on my 200th, but for me personally, like I have learned more from our guests, right? I've had more professional development and personal development from our guests than I have from school, courses, books, other podcasts I listen to, almost everything else combined. So it's been a huge gift to me as well in my career, in my life, in my development. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the people I want to thank the team. I want to thank the guests and I want to thank the listeners. And those are like the three big stakeholders. And I hope that we've added value to all three.
I think we have, man. And I think everyone listening probably wants to say a big thank you to you too. You have led the way in so many things and you've brought so much to life. And I look at how this got created. I look at the way you put your passion and energy into this. I look at you, you said something earlier on, which is like, I was just focused on like bringing good, like valuable, actionable insights for people and making an impact on individuals. And in doing that, you built a relationship with an entire industry, man. Like, and you did a phenomenal phenomenal job doing it. If we want to tie this back to my question, it's like, how did this make an impact on BTA? I think the world got to build a relationship with Contract Revolution, with Benji Carlson, with the brand, Breakthrough Academy with things that we do every day and feel closer to us, feel closer to you and what you brought to the marketplace. So there's a lot there for sure. So on the note of, is it worth it? I think, Benji, you said it best. There's a lot. There's a lot, and it's not just numerical, right? So let's take this to the listener. Let's give some context to where this is relevant for them. And let's start to talk a little bit about like why a contractor should invest themselves into content marketing. And it doesn't have to be exactly the way that we do it, right? But there's so much learning that you've had over the last 4 years that I think ultimately if everybody on the Breakthrough Academy team, on the Contractor Evolution team, you get this best. What is it about content marketing that's important, but specifically for the contractors out there?
So I think, okay, I'll preface it in a tongue-in-cheek way. Don't go and start a podcast. That's not what we're saying. I've seen many, many, many of our members go and try and do this, and I'm kind of razzing you all a bit, but no offense, like your upwardly mobile, higher end, ideal candidate profile buyer does not want to listen to their plumber once a week talking about whatever. So that I'm just going to take that one off the board for everyone. If you want to go make a podcast about something else for plumbers or for builders or something else, that's fine. But if you're doing this for your own marketing, I think there's better mediums that you can choose to make, and we'll get into that here. I don't want to get too tactical early on yet because this is sort of a more philosophical question. The reason that you make content ultimately, and the reason I'm very bullish on people, on contractors doing this, and if you look at the last 200 plus episodes, you'll see a lot of content marketers that I have brought on purpose to talk about this. There's a few reasons. So first of all, and you guys have heard this before, but people buy from people, not from brands. And so your content is an opportunity to really do personal brand building and also business brand building at the same time, which is kind of what you want. It's a forcing function to put you behind a camera or behind a typewriter get in front of your audience and show your human self. I think that as things become increasingly AI driven and increasingly digitized, guys, there's going to be a massively new value placed on human voice and human art and human ideas and human communication. When everyone's website is written by ChatGPT, the appetite for that is going to diminish, and people are going to want to read and speak to and engage with human concepts, if that makes sense. And so I think, to be honest, like now's the perfect time. You're not too late to begin investing in this. And yeah, maybe it would have been good to get started 2 years ago, but it is absolutely not too late. And there's no time like the present to get going on this. So I would say that like people buy from people, not from from brands. The online world is really, really fundamentally built around search, right? So how do people, it's the reason, you know, all of the biggest companies, well, Google being the main one, now increasingly ChatGPT are ultimately search engines. Like that's what people go to the internet for. I need something. Where do I find it? You type it into a browser or search bar. You maybe go straight to Google. You type it into ChatGPT. So what are you doing to get found is the question. And content is a forcing function. Making content is a forcing function that demands that you make stuff all the time that attaches itself to your brand, that makes it more easy for your buyers to find you. So there's a huge findability component to it. Once they found you, then you got to look at this question of trust. It's like, okay, I found this plumber and this other plumber. I found this builder and this other builder. I found this landscaper and this other landscaper. Which one do I like more? And the way that you do that is through content. It could be social media. It could be website. It could be video. It could be podcast. It could be a million things. But people want to consume and want to know quite a bit about you before they ever reach out. I don't think that I don't think that the average contractor is fully thinking about this and not maybe accepting reality enough on this. A friend of the show, Marcus Sheridan, has been on a few times. He spoke at our Winter Summit a few months ago. Says that the average buyer is 80% finished their buyer's journey, and they call it a buyer's journey for a reason, not a seller's journey. They're 80% finished the buyer's journey before they even make contact with you. So how could they be finished 80% of the journey without ever speaking to someone from your team? They're finished it through content. And so if you want to optimize that, the 80% of their journey, you better have something to feed them. And it better be good, or it better be better. It better be better than your competitors at the very least. And that is not, I want to be really clear. Algorithm changes, new platforms, new LLMs, new presidents, new politics, new world order, whatever. That fundamental premise is not going to change. And so that is why I'm very bullish on doing this still. The other reason that I would chuck in here is it's so easy for businesses like yours, right? And so if you run a blue collar business of any kind, the content is literally sitting there ripe for capture on your job site right now. I mean, I can't even tell you how jealous I am of your business, in the sense that to create cool content for a builder, you spend time on site with an iPhone and you record your craftspeople, you record your foremans, you get a slow motion shot of the saw going through the wood, and you get the wood chips going off. Like, it's so f-ing easy, pardon my French, to make the content for your business. We have to work so hard at Breakthrough Academy. It's so, what we do is so conceptual and it's so abstract. You're trying to explain ideas and frameworks. None of it's in real life. Whereas in your business, almost all of your business happens in real life. And so to me, it's like, man, the shots are there. Just go take them. Write a caption, figure out a clever way to position something, make a carousel, make a cool video, hire the help you need. But I really can't emphasize this point enough, that you have the raw ingredients for content creation for a construction company, for a roofing company, for anything, is so, so, so good. And it's so much better than most other businesses, that I think you're really sleeping on a massive opportunity there. So, you know, those are some reasons that I think that this is incredibly important to get going on now. It's good for your SR. It's good for your average ticket. It's good for your deal velocity. People will buy more from you, and they'll buy from you faster with less scrutiny when you have content. And you'll just have to trust me on this one. Like, there's ways to measure this, and we can get into UTMs and how you set this up through HubSpot or through your systems to sort of see the data to know if it's working. All of that will pale in comparison to the moment you walk up to someone's house and they say, "Oh, I'm really excited to see you. I love your videos." And you're just going to know. It's going to be this very cool moment for you when you have that. And you kind of, that's how you'll know it's working. I know we're going to get into that later, but that's sort of like, maybe that's my final point on this. That's why I think that people need to lean into this, and they need to do it now and be okay with it being messy to start, because it's going to get way better later on.
Yeah. And you said something pretty powerful, which is just like the world of AI, the world of advertising, the world of like fast paced, so many things in front of us all day long. It's too much, and we're not able to really connect with it anymore. And it's those who take a step out to actually reveal themselves, reveal their business, reveal their people, and actually like say, "Hey, this is who we are as like humans," just automatically makes you stand out as like, I relate to the human and not all the other like Google algorithms that are pushing things my way. Like, finally, someone I can actually get to know. Let's have a conversation, right?
So, totally.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what? I'll second that, Benji. Like, I've watched our brand grow over the years, and I've watched how people have built relationships with us. And, you know, I ran our sales team for a lot of years while you were busy running the podcast, and I saw the conversation shift. I saw it shift from like, "Who are you?" to like, how can we talk? Like, they're already 80% of the way ready to go because of all the time you spent really just building a relationship with them. So, awesome.
I heard one of our guests, he was an Australian guy. I think his name was Matt Jones, and he's a really interesting. He builds websites for contractors. I can't remember what his business is called. Doesn't matter. He said Site it shed. Really well. Site shed podcast. He was like, what your business does. He's like, if you think, you know, my business is boring, what your business does is only boring to you. And it's only boring to you because you've done it for 10 years or 20 years or whatever. It's very run of the mill. For someone who is buying your services, it's actually incredibly important. And actually, they actually need that content quite urgently because they have pain that they want to get rid of. And they don't want to spend a bunch of money to not get rid of it. So it's not boring at all. And I think that there's some mindset stuff around this that we could get into where it's like you do have to believe that what you do matters, and you have to believe that what you do is interesting. Because if you don't, it's going to be a false start. And I just love the way that he framed that. What you do is only boring to you. It's actually very fascinating to the audience.
I have literally heard you say that before about things that we talk about. But yes, agreed. Let's get into some tangible stuff. Let's talk about how our listeners can actually do this for themselves. So here's kind of like the first most obvious simple question, which is like, what kind of content should they be making? Because you're saying don't run a podcast. So what should they be doing?
So what I would like ask the average listener to do either while they're listening or after this is go on to ChatGPT and if you're still using free, get the paid, you moron. Use the good one and ask it, give me the top 30 best content, like content mediums that the world's best content marketers use. And it's going to give you this list. And you can kind of like sit with the list and reflect on it. And this is a personal journey. So I want to be clear, like I'm just giving you my opinion. You need to figure this out for yourself. But if you look at this big, long list, you're going to see things like podcasts and white papers and case studies and research papers and all sorts of stuff that you could go do. And I spent some time prepping for this, just thinking through like what's Benji's like short list of the long list. And it's this, okay? Video of any kind. Like you want to invest in a video muscle because your social media needs it, your website needs it, your pre-estimate email needs it, your post-estimate email needs it. Video kind of feeds a whole bunch of different channels and mediums. And so it's almost like the meta content form that you should get good at regardless of which channel you choose, because it's pretty versatile, as you can tell. I think that social media in general is just, whether we're talking about Instagram predominantly, Facebook a little, LinkedIn a bit, that is a really, really good one to invest in. How-to guides are very, very interesting. I think listicles are great. I think blogs are great if you're working with someone who's good and trained in SEO and knows how to use blogs to help you get ranked. There's a few kind of like bonus ones I'd throw out there. I'm really becoming interested in user-generated content. I think that testimonials are always a slam dunk. You will always have in your brand, in your brand environment, you will always have places to put happy customers of yours talking about how great you are. And if you look at what we've done with the BTA brand environment over the last 5 years, it's gone from a lot of us talking about ourselves to a lot less of us talking about ourselves, and we get our customers talking about us, and you can do the exact same thing with your business. Another thing that I've not seen anyone do yet, but I'm quite fascinated with would be, and I've talked about this with a lot of members, and people have flirted with the idea, but no one's done it really well yet. I'll challenge someone out there listening to do this. I think that a contractor could do a really, really interesting quarterly or monthly newsletter. One of the things that's interesting about construction and trades is they're hyper local, right? It's like you're not an online business, you're not an internet business, you don't have customers all over North America. You have customers in one town or city, which means it is conceivable for you to make some really interesting content around like what's going on in your city. I mean, I live in Kelowna and I think Kelowna is an amazing place to live. I think a builder or a painter here in Kelowna could make a really valuable monthly newsletter that goes out to their entire list talking about hot new restaurants that opened up, events that are happening, the farmer's market, how the Kelowna Rockets are playing, weather, like what's happening at Big White. Like there's just so much going on. You could do something really cool there. And I think that, you know, if especially you have residential clients, that's something that they would find valuable as like a hyper local newsletter. I've not seen someone do that yet. I think that would be cool. But like those are the things to me that I think are the most compelling. Like definitely invest in video, get that video on social media and your website. UGC is always cool. Testimonials are rad, and I'd love to see one do an email newsletter. But that's the stuff that I think of. I don't know if there's anything that I missed. What do you think?
I just think about the theme you're talking about, which is like, it's what your customer, the answer is actually what your customer consumes. And what you just did is the problem solving exercise of thinking about what a customer of a contractor would be consuming, which is you did a lot of brainstorming just now, which is good.
Yeah, I skipped a step. I should have said that at the beginning. The best thing that the kind that you should make is the kind that your audience will consume, whatever that is.
I remember this for us. You know what it was? And some people will laugh when they're listening to this. It was that our customer, aka the contractor, is usually driving around in their truck a lot throughout the day and listening to podcasts. We did market research on this and we found that out. And we're like, okay, that makes tons of sense, all the sense in the world. But hence why the medium specifically of a podcast was, amongst other things, but was such a good hit. And so the answer actually is totally different than what we're doing because you guys have a different customer. And so go sit down with them, go interview them, go find out what do you consume? What do you get value from? Benji just took a bunch of time to make some thoughts about it. But the best person you're going to be able to find that out from is your customer.
Yeah, I'm glad you underscored that. Like I'm just chucking stuff at the wall here. I sort of preface it by saying you need to figure this out for yourself. I want to elaborate on that. Like I Benji did the 40 interviews with our buyers. An hour each, like a lot of time, all tons of notes, figuring out which medium to choose. And it all seems obvious in hindsight, but at the time it wasn't. Like it wasn't super clear. We could have done any number of things. And they were like, yeah, like, look, I have to drive from job site to job site because I run a business with 5 or 6 or 10 or 50 different sites open at any given time. And I need to get from place to place. And, I also like work out and I'm active. So I do have downtime and I'd love to put something in my ears where I can educate myself and make myself better as a result. So I was like, okay, duh, that's really obvious. We should do this. You can go through the exact same exercise with your buyers and be confident that you will see a pattern. You will find something on the list. You know, go get the ChatGPT list. And I'm telling you, one of them will just slowly become bold and underlined in your mind's eye. It'll be very clear to do this because of the patterns that you're getting from your buyers. So at the end of the day, you know, the best content is the stuff that gets consumed. And that's going to be very case by case.
Okay. Let's move into the next thought here. So like, okay, so we're figuring out some mediums. We're figuring out some stuff we want to put out there. How do we know if it's working?
There's kind of two answers to this. And I alluded to it earlier. One is like very data driven, and then one is very like intuitive, and it's just sort of a feel thing. So the technically correct answer to this, and by the way, I'm not by no means an expert in this subject matter. So I'm not going to pretend to know but I know enough to share this with our audience. Like the technically correct answer is you have really sophisticated tracking systems through your CRM, you're using UTMs, you're using a few different like online digital tools that allow you to, that give you visibility into whether or not your content is being consumed in the first place. So YouTube Studio has a very, very powerful suite of dashboards and analytics in the back end of it that you can go look at. Apple Podcasts, maybe not quite as sophisticated, but you can still see the signals. You can see that people are reading or watching or clicking or listening. So that's the first part. You want to like, it's not going to do much if nobody's consuming it. So, but So, but then what? It's like, great. Okay. People are listening to our podcast. That's nice. Is it driving a business result or not? And so then you're trying to correlate the signals that you're getting from these platforms with business results that you're seeing in your CRM. And it is not an entry-level marketing problem to figure that out. Like, I'll be totally transparent and real. Like, I've done 200 podcast episodes. We've done this with a team. We're still figuring out how to draw straight lines and get line of sight between good content and business results. It's not an easy thing to solve. And any content marketer will tell you the same thing. There's a quite interesting reason why that is. We don't have time to get in for it, but it's due to privacy and everyone, YouTube and Apple, they all want to hoard their own data and it's all decentralized. It's not easy to see. So there is a way to do it. It's much more advanced than what your average contractor needs to do to be effective with this. And so I explain all that to say there is a technically sort of perfect answer to this question that really doesn't matter, I think, for this audience. What I think is a better thing to pay attention to is how your customers begin to interact with you, the type of questions you're going to get in estimates and in design meetings and in appointments. And by that, I mean, they're going to be much higher quality questions because your buyers are much more informed, not only about like your business, but about your actual trade and the craft in general. So they're gonna be asking you, instead of just like, well, are you guys insured and do you show up on time? They're gonna be asking you questions that are about four layers deeper than they were before you started making content. So your sales team better be on their game, because in a weird way, it forces you to be more on your toes, but it also engenders a lot more, it endears a lot more trust with them too. And so I think for the novice content creator, I would pay less attention to UTMs and average percentage viewed and watch time and click through and all the stuff that we track. And I would spend a little bit more time on some qualitative kind of intuitive feel metrics. And as you get more advanced, you can get into the more layered tracking. But I think to start, I'd keep it really simple.
What you're referencing actually is listening mechanisms, is it not? Like the things that you're putting your ear to the ground to that are fairly low tech, that are simple, that are allowing you to see and hear the patterns of your marketplace and be able to utilize that as your content generating engine, as far as like what you're going to post is what you're hearing from everybody else.
Yeah, a listening mechanism is a marketing term to what they mean by that is, okay, so the hardest question, the hardest thing to do in marketing, particularly content marketing, it's not, believe it or not, it's not shooting videos, it's not editing videos, it's not design, it's not any of the actual work that needs to happen to make this stuff. It's an earlier step. The hardest thing to do in content marketing is make the right stuff in the first place. And it's not obvious what your buyers want and need. So if you want to do this at a serious level, which we do, you need listening mechanisms to hear what your buyer is dealing with, what they're suffering with, where their pain is, so that you can make content that addresses that. Now, what you will probably do is what we did, is you'll just kind of do your best guess for a while. I think they want this. I think they want that. This is a good idea. It's very difficult to not have your personal bias seep into that. And what you're going to do is just make the stuff that you find interesting, but it really doesn't matter to your buyers. The other thing in that book I was referencing that's also in the first chapter is it's not about you. Like, I don't mind saying this. Like, I love Contract Religion because I'm proud of what we've built. But like, that podcast is not for me. Like, I'm not a listener of my podcast, right? It's not about my personal preference and my interests as a human being. It's about what the audience needs. And so going back to this idea of listening mechanisms, like what you need in your business is a way into the mind of your buyer and eventually listener or consumer or content consumer. And so the very, very obvious place for that in construction and trades and the type of businesses that are listening to this is your sales meetings. And so if you want to take this seriously, you really slow down, you start to ask better questions, you start to take much more serious notes on what people are saying when you do needs analysis in that stage of the sales process. And what you'll start, if you're not paying attention, it'll just go right over your head. But if you're paying attention, what you'll start to see is like these very, very obvious patterns where you'll hear it kind of 10 times over the span of 6 months. I'm trying to think of a good example. I come from the painting world, so let's use a painting example. People keep asking questions about like why their windows are peeling. They just had it done a couple of years ago and they don't understand why their windows are peeling again. So that's pain. Someone is bothered by that. And that right there is the inspiration to go write a blog, make a YouTube video, make an Instagram post, make a LinkedIn post, write an article, whatever, about why someone's windows peel. And this is where it's interesting. It's like, is that an interesting article? Is why your windows are peeling going to make it to, you know, the New York Times? Probably not. But for someone whose windows are peeling and they're typing that into Google, that's exactly the piece of content that they need. And so what's my point here? Listening mechanisms are really, really important, and you want to look for them in your business. The very obvious one for most small businesses is the sales meeting, because you have direct access to the customer. But the other place is going to be Google reviews. If you want to get more advanced, you can kind of start studying search traffic and look into tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs or others. And ultimately what you're trying to do with all these listening mechanisms is find a way into the mind of your potential content consumer, so you can answer the most difficult question, which is, what do I make in the first place?
Amazing. You said something that was so simple, but you're just like, an example of like, why are my windows peeling? Are there other just like cool content examples that just bring it to life for us that you've seen within our members, within the people you've worked with?
Well, I mean, like Mark, I'll hit him up again because he's such a source of wisdom. But Marcus Sheridan has built a website with I don't know how many millions of hits a week on fiberglass pools, right? Like there's articles on like, how deep should I make my fiberglass pool? And you're like, how is that popular? It's like, well, people buy fiberglass pools and they search that into Google and they find his stuff. You know, usually it's a lot of the stuff is going to be around, it's usually going to be around pain. And if you just put yourself in the mindset of, you know, your type of buyer, like what are the types of things that they really need to slow down and think about? What are the types of things that they seem to ask you four or five times that they really want to make sure gets addressed? We our audience is so broad in so many different industries, it would be difficult to give you like very concrete or explicit examples, but it's going to surprise you often how technical and how granular this stuff is.
Yeah.
It's very, very specific.
Yeah. In a way that when you start to brainstorm it all on your own, you're probably going to go and just completely miss it. It's like it's called the windshield wiper syndrome, where you're off looking in the distance trying to figure out this big idea, but it's like right in front of you the whole time. It's totally the simple stuff. Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for providing that. Okay. So here's the thing. And I think most business owners eventually get to this point when you start to really put a lot of time into this, right? Is you're like, it's value add. It's getting seen. It's getting noticed. At some point, you're like, how do we make sure this gives us an ROI? And at the same time, there's this like wrestle between like, I don't want this to become a giant sales pitch, but I also don't want to just like not mention the fact that eventually we should get business from this. How do you balance that? And like, what percentage should that even be of each?
There's competing philosophies on this. I don't think there's any one right answer. You know, a traditional marketer would say you need to put a CTA on absolutely everything, a CTA being a call to action, something that ties back to your brand or your product. There's got to be a button that says buy now on everything. That would be a more traditional marketer would say that. More modern marketers like Alex Hormozi is sort of the GOAT right now and is pretty famous for saying, like he doesn't have CTAs on anything. If you watch any of his content, he never talks about, he doesn't push back. He's not trying to sell stuff directly from his content. It's all free. It's all value add. And he's found a different strategy. He actually runs retargeting campaigns to the people who watch his free stuff. And it's very sophisticated and obviously working really well for him. So I say all that to say this is you can win a bunch of different ways. My personal opinion, just because you're asking, is I think a good ratio is like 90% of your content should be free. It shouldn't be about you. It should be about the buyer. It should be helpful. It should be useful. It should provide utility. It should relieve pain. And then let's say roughly 10% of the time you are directing back to your brand. So after, you know, let's just kind of break this up. If you're writing a blog that's you know, 2 pages long, the very bottom of the second page can say, oh, and by the way, if you're interested in home services like the one we offer, here's our website. You know, we have these credentials. We've been doing business this long. Whatever you and your marketing brain feels like it works for your brand. If you produce 10 content pieces, 9 of them should be fully value add and not about you at all. And then 1 should be about you and should point back to your brand. Look, I'm no saint. Like we do this, we've done this for a business result and it's delivered it to us. And I'd love to get inside the mind of our listeners and be like, hey, do you think Contract Revolution is super salesy? I mean, I don't think it is. We slap the occasional CTA on here. We talk about other web classes we're doing. We occasionally send people to the website to check it out, but I don't think it's super aggressive and it doesn't need to be. People buy from people that help them. And so I personally lean towards like just make really good and maybe occasionally bring up what you do. But I'm sure there's other people that would disagree. And again, you can find success in a bunch of different ways and you really need to dial this in for your own brand and your own offer. And it's going to depend on a lot of different things, the market you're in, the type of buyer you work with, the type of service you sell, the type of seasonality you experience. So again, there's no one size fits all. That's just sort of my philosophy on it. The vast, vast, vast majority is helpful. And then occasionally you point an arrow at the buy now button.
Okay. It's good. And you know what? I think actually when I look at different personality types, I think people that are super salesy and super aggressive are just going to want it to be more, whether that's right or not. And people that are more passive and just have a trouble asking for the job and that's not their game, are going to go put out a ton of content and forget to even mention that there's a business behind the whole thing. So I think what you said is probably pretty accurate. It's like 90% of the time, go and just focus on value. Don't be afraid like 10% of the time. Ask for what you want. You're putting time and money and effort and energy into this. And honestly, I think about this too. I'm like, people should want to know what you do because you probably do something good that actually provides value. So
they'll ask. Yeah. If your stuff is good, they'll ask. Yeah. Right. And that's how you know you're not doing enough CTAs. This is a little pro tip. If somebody's saying, yeah, you know, tell me about what you guys do, you're not selling hard enough. They shouldn't have to ask. They should know. It should be embedded into your content. And we've tipped the scales either way on that. If people go, yeah, no, tell me what you guys do. It's like, that's a surefire sign that there's room on the spectrum for you to move towards the salesier end. You're probably being a little bit too passive, but again, it's case by case and everyone needs to figure it out for themselves.
That's a good way to put it. Okay. Now I wanted to move into this other thing here. So we're out there, we're putting out content. We're stoked. Maybe we just got out of a conference. Maybe we just listened to this podcast and we're like, let's go. And it's 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, and the content engine stops. How do you avoid false starts?
I've got two thoughts on that. Don't do anything that feels fake. Don't do... It needs to sound and feel and resonate with, like, your soul. As cheesy as that sounds, they do need to be your own ideas. You need to use language that you're comfortable with. You need to use tonality that you're comfortable with. You need to be you. And if you're not, you're going to become extremely, extremely exhausted. I mean, it's by the way, it's still tiring being you on camera all day. Imagine trying to fake it. So it's just, that's totally unsustainable. And that would be my first thought. The second thing would be start using really simple tools like a content calendar that just allows you to plan out weeks or months in advance what you're going to release and when and on what channel. You just literally YouTube how to make a content calendar or ChatGPT how to make a content calendar. You will have a million resources available right away. But you do need to have a little bit of premeditation on things. And then another just thing that we've done a great job of, I think, is batch the production. So our podcast comes out every week. We don't record every week, right? Like I record 6 times a year. We do these massive shoot weeks that are a huge amount of work and a ton of prep, and I'm exhausted by the end. But they're to be honest, there's really, for me and the way we had things set up, there was no other way to do it. So batching content, and you do a bunch up front that then gets disseminated over time so you can go and focus on other things, is another kind of pro tip. The other thing that I would just, to round out your question, my answer to your question is, you have to accept the fact, the truth, that to get good at anything in life, you have to be pretty bad at it for a while. And that's true of becoming a Red Seal carpenter. That's true of becoming a great athlete. That's true of learning Spanish. You have to be bad at it for a pretty while, for quite a while. The difference with content and learning Spanish is that you can be bad at Spanish in the privacy of your own home on the Duolingo app or with your Spanish instructor. It's like you can be bad at it quietly. With content, you can't. So it's very different. I don't think people think about this explicitly enough before they start. You are going to be bad in public now. And if you're not mentally prepared for that, you've got no hope. So I would just be prepared and be okay to be bad at the thing in public for a little while. You have to have faith in yourself that you're going to get better, because you will. The learning curve is not as long as you think it is, and the ceiling is way higher than you think it is. If you listen to our first few podcasts, they were not great. It's the learning curve has to be gone through. Did I think when we started that we'd ever have, you know, an audience the size that we do, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 or 80,000 views and listens a month? That's supplemented a bit by some of our paid spend, I should say. But we have a really sizable audience with Contractor Evolution now. Did ever think that was going to happen? Absolutely not. And so, yeah, the learning curve is there, but it's shorter than you think. And the TAM, the total addressable market, is way bigger than you think. And so I would just encourage people to make amends, make peace with the fact that you're going to be embarrassed for a little bit. And then eventually you're going to be like, yeah, you know what? People like this. This is good. I'm really comfortable with it. And any content creator, anyone with a big social media following, whether they're just an influencer or like they own a brand that they're doing content for, they're all going to say the exact same thing.
Benji, that rings very true with me standing here in the studio right now talking.
Yeah, you're about to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, it's exactly, you just need to be like, all right, this is going to, there'll be a few sucky ones and then eventually it'll get better. And I just think if you're not mentally prepared to do that, you'll be stunned by the first one. And you'll be like, wow, I didn't think about the fact that I had to post it. It's like, well, you do.
Yes, there has been a mild sense of anxiety, I would say, leading up to the ability to come up and do this type of stuff. But I will say, even just going through this right now, I'm like, I actually think a lot of you probably have a lot more to say and have a lot more to put out there than you actually think. And there's this mental barrier that you have to break through. And it's just like anything. It's like anything in business. You get into something, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be good at what I'm doing. And then boom, you do it. 3 months roll by and you're like, it's fine. So
yeah. And like, I would say too, it's really helpful if you're doing camera time. And just to be explicit, I'm assuming we're talking about contractors listening, making more social media posts, making more videos for their website, getting over their fear of being in front of the camera and just doing it. That is what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
What you will see pretty quickly is you're better at sales. You're better in interviews. You're a better persuader. Your verbal acuity goes through the roof. Your vocabulary goes through the roof. You don't stutter as much. You just get better. Like, there's all these other things that you get really, really good at because you're forced to through the repetitions. And so it's not like, again, it's not just about the video or how many likes were on that post. It's about the growth that it forces you to go through. And I think that people are totally sleeping on that.
Amazing. Okay, Benji, let's wrap this up. Dude, 200 podcasts, 4 years, an unbelievable amount of experience and an unbelievable just amount of like give to the industry. You've built quite the hell of one hell of a name for yourself, man. And I can't thank you enough for doing this. I have some questions for you, some final questions for you, if you're cool with this.
Okay.
Okay, some quick hits. Favorite guest?
Dan Martell.
Awesome. Self-produced, favorite self-produced episode?
I should have prepped this. I did one recently that I thought was pretty good. I did one on active listening that I thought was good. I don't know. I hate talking about myself. Let's go with active listening.
All right. Favorite behind the scenes moment?
Honestly, Juan and I have logged so many hours in that studio. And before Juan, it was Matt and I in that studio. I would say I have had so many laughs and so many great beers, lots of great hangouts and visits with Juan and Matt in that studio. I wish that I always joke with those two. I'm like, my political career is over because you guys have so much not safe for work content on me in the studio that you have as blackmail that you can hang over my head. I would just say like those shoot weeks where, you know, it's just the video producer and I slogging it out and it's late on a Thursday and you're already exhausted and there's more to go. And we just kind of buckle down and get it done. Like those were some really fun moments and really fun memories, and they're memories I'm going to miss a lot.
All right. Here's a big last one. Biggest moment in your own development.
I was at a PCA event about 3 or 4 years ago in Orlando. And this was like really nerve-wracking. This was like a really scary, you know, journey for me. And I was like, you put like, it's like what we just talked about. Like you're putting stuff out there on the internet and you have no idea if it's good or not. And I think people might expect that, like, even with an audience like ours, that you're just overwhelmed with positive feedback and love and adoration from your fans. And that's just not the case. Like, go look at our videos. Like, there's not that many comments. Like, you don't get like, you know, a lot of the times it can feel like you're just broadcasting into the dark and you really don't know if you're helping people or if it's good or not. And I remember the first time somebody came up to me at this PCA event, he's actually became a member. It was Jeremy Fife. What's his last name? Anyway, let's look him up after. It was Jeremy. He's a really, really nice guy. And he came up to me and he was like, man, I love your videos. And then it wasn't just like, I love your videos, but he talked about something really specific that I had said. And it was, and then he shared like why it helped him and the context of his business and why it clicked and why that mattered. And I was like, holy f-, like this actually, people actually watch this and it actually helps. And I think that really, really changed things for me. And I'm really blessed and really humbled to say like that now happens all the time. I was just at an event, literally last week in Nashville with this new venture, and same thing happened. And it's just like, that is incredibly rewarding. And I think more of that to come. And I would say when that happens for you in your business with your audience and in your specific context, in your environment with your community, you will have the same kind of like epiphany, which is like, it's not about you. It's about the audience. And you're there to make people feel seen and you're there to serve. And if you do those things, people buy your stuff and they buy a lot of it and you can charge more and everything gets better and you can pay your people more and everything gets better and easier. So hang in there until that moment happens, because it will. And then it's going to be downhill.
Awesome, man. This is your final episode on Contract Revolution. Is there anything you want to say to everyone?
I want to thank the team. At BTA, like I said, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears behind the scenes that goes into this. I forgot to mention Ashley Wilson. I knew I was forgetting someone. That's who I forgot to mention when I rattled off the list of marketing teams.
You're lucky she was going to kill you.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that work on this. And so I want to thank them. And then I really, really want to thank the listener. Just if you've consumed our stuff over the years and you've gotten value out of it, I just thank you.
It's been amazing. Benji, I love you. Dude, we've worked with you for almost 10 years. And I can't thank you enough, like I've said four times already. But you, my friend, are full of talent, full of so much ahead of you. And thank you for running the show for so long and doing such a phenomenal job and helping so many great people out there. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.